people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning, warning.
We've got to stop them. They're going to kill us all.
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone. Or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so orient, makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio of FreedomSlips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rest! You tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
All right. I don't even know whether I'm live or not. And I've got no way to find out because my whole laptop has crashed. So a backup laptop. I have no idea whether anybody can hear me at all or not, but I'm going to have a look at the homepage and then check in case I am on. Yeah, so it's not going to be sure that I'm completely improvised. But nevertheless, it's called Free Association Prison because it has to be improvised. Alright, so make some notes. I know the it's time to be sure. I don't think there's anything happening. I don't know. Can somebody tell me in chat if you can hear me? Because I don't know if you can or not. At all. There's no way to tell either. Alright. So that's definitely doing something anyway, so I'm probably online. There's got to be a better way to do this. I can't even get into the chat room on this PC. Alright, what I'm going to do is drop this one and go to the other PC and see if I can get something working from there. All right, now I'll go here as well. I don't know what's going on with this today. Microphone device changed to da-di-da. Yeah, got that. Right, so I think I'm live. Still not 100% sure, but I shall check. Let me double check just in case I'm not. All right, testing 1, 2, 3. Still don't know. Right, what's going on with this? All right, inevitably. All right, let's see. USB device 2. All right, here we go. And I should be on Rev Radio. But I don't know until it starts. All right, speak. There we go. I'm live. All right, good. It's a bit of a dog's breakfast again, but at least I know I'm live, so that's a start. And I made some notes today. Welcome to Free Association. My laptop died, or has almost died, I can't get it back, 7 minutes before the show was due to start, so for whatever reason, I'm now on a different computer, in a different room, and we'll just have to make this up as we go along. So whatever works is whatever works. So it's gonna be a show about germ theory and the immune system, for want of a better way to phrase it. And I'm going to play a piece by Tom Cowan. I'm going to play about 20 minutes of it. But I want to talk a little bit, first of all, about something that I've been doing for years, which is a thing called Immunix. About 8 years ago, eight years ago definitely, when I was living in Jesmond, I was kind of, I know it was Easter. I remember it being Easter. It was a long Easter weekend. So I started looking for a cure for cancer on YouTube, of all places. So not necessarily the place you would look to find a cure for cancer now, but back in the day, there were quite a few. As it turned out, or lots of people claiming to cure cancer, at least. And one of those was a guy called Beard Barnes, and a thing called Immunix, which I discovered on the long Easter weekend. Must have been 2014, something like that. I can't remember exactly. But I'd been in this place in Jesmond for a couple of years. And, anyway, so Immunix is weird. It's one of the weirdest things that I've ever done in my life, but it seems to work. It definitely seems to work in a lot of ways. I've taken out cold symptoms. So what Immunix is a kind of a grid system. So there's, I'll simplify it. So say there's four bodies. So you've got an etheric body, spiral body, gravitational body, and celestial body. Those are collectively called the results bodies in Immunix. And what it comes down to is this kind of a grid with bodies on one side. It's like a spreadsheet, really. The bodies in one column, and then the next column is pathologies, and then there's another column for immune dysfunctions, another column for conditions, another column for functions, and then I used to put an accelerator column in there, and the accelerator was just to changes in behavior that might result from the Munich session that I was doing at the time. So this is too complicated to really describe on radio, but the upshot of it was that you can take out cold and flu viruses, you can take out mold, you can take out fungus, you can take out almost anything, because it uses a metaphor of the immune system, and almost anything can be described as an immune dysfunction. So it's a kind of messed upness in the immune system, it's a way of behaving that's not appropriate for the immune system. So, for example, if you're taking a cold virus out, you would first of all, you've got to do a little bit of kind of dowsing and wait for a signal in your hand or one of your fingers to say that there's a virus present in let's say we're doing the etheric body. How would you say, do I have virus in my etheric body? It doesn't need to be a specific virus, it's just virus in general. And then if you get a twitch in one of your fingers, that counts as a yes signal. So you'd set this signal up beforehand. And once you've set it up, you know what the signal is going to be for all of the sessions that you do. So if you get a yes, you just then make the statement, I'm now removing all virus from my etheric body. And then you wait for another signal to say, yes, it's done. Right, and you can go through different pathologies, different what's called immune dysfunctions. I just go through one at a time, and when you take something out, you put in a function, which is a correct behavior. So it doesn't have to be anything specific for each pathology. It can just be a better behavior. So you want to be more clear thinking, for example. You would take out a virus and put in clear thinking as a function. And then what would be the consequence of the clear thinking? That would then be the accelerator. So you would write down a behavior or a process, a thought pattern, or a specific clear thinking topic or whatever. And you go through each body in turn, removing viruses and putting in functions, just as an example. So I've been doing this for years. I used to do my Immunix at work when I was working in telesales, because telesales can be very, very frustrating, and it's just one of those things where it shows in your voice if you're frustrated or if you've just had a bad call with somebody and they've reacted badly, and you take that on just for a second or two. It shows in your next call in your voice. So what I used to do is just take out my frustration and add in clarity, clear thinking, or take out annoyance and put in clear thinking or something like that in each of these bodies. Or take out virus, or take out mold, or take out fungus. It's all symbolic, so it isn't actually mold that you're taking out. It's something that's called mold that can be like a constellation of other things that are buried deep in your subconscious that you don't have a name for. So that worked quite well for me. I always managed to get one sale a week in that telesales job, and that kept me the job, because I might not hit the other targets that they wanted me to hit, but I would always manage one sale a week. I might only put one appointment on the board all week, but I would know it was going to sell, and they would have sacked me otherwise, but I always managed to pull out one sale a week for the whole time that I was at that particular business. So moving swiftly on to the germ theory problem. I went through a process on Tuesday last week where I was awake early. It was the anniversary of the JFK assassination, so it was the 22nd of November. And I woke up about 5:30 or something, so I was listening to JFK assassination videos on YouTube, and then I ended up somewhere else, and I ended up listening to a woman called Amanda, who was chastising her Telegram group about sharing Watch the Water, which is the Brian Artist documentary that came out, I think that was probably March or April this year, something like that. So it was an old video, and she was just saying, drop the addiction to drama. You know that viruses don't exist. You know that none of this stuff is real. And it struck a nerve with me. I've never managed to get to a place where I could let go of germ theory until Tuesday. And she managed to say something in a particular way that hit home with me. I don't know exactly what it was. I don't remember exactly what it was, but she said something, and I went, all right, that's me. So I understood the situation at that point. I've understood it intellectually for a while. I've been working kind of through a process for about 18 months. But I feel like I've kind of got there now. And I just wanted to play some of a piece by Tom Cowan. This is a piece called The Contagion Myth. Let me move it backwards to about 11 minutes. Okay, so I'll play about 20 minutes of this. And it's really the same idea. It's like germ theory is nonsense, and it's been fed to us. So here's Tom Cowan explaining what's going on. Right, let me reset my speakers. Oh God, so many things going wrong on this day. It's unreal. So many things. Anyway, it is what it is. All right, let's try again and see if I've got decent sound this time.
Invited to debunk Andy and I and say that we were idiots. And the science we were presenting was incorrect. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. Because if anybody should know, I mean, this guy should know, as well as the other virologists and the other internists were very vocal in saying that we were incorrect. And the reason I say that is because...
All right, I've got another technical issue, so I'm going to reset the audio and see if I can make a difference that way. It doesn't look like it's going to make a difference, but I can talk anyway. Talking's good. So that was Tom Cowan, and just explaining how viruses have never been isolated. In a scientific way, I don't really do the science all that much, because that's not the background that I'm from. So what I do is, what I was doing with the Immunix while I was working was taking out anything that was described as a pathology. So anything that was in my mind, because we're talking about mind and symbols ultimately, that was getting in the way of me making an appointment or making a sale in that telesales job. So it was, so the whole process, the Immunix process, takes your immune system and makes it symbolic so that you can play around with it. But you're playing, you're basically playing around with the inside of your head, with your mind, which isn't the inside of your head, but it's your personal ego, your personal mind. So all of your history is in there. All of your triggers and your reactions and your kind of ego things, all the ego things are in there. All of the health things are in there. So it's a symbolic representation of your personal history and your personal behavior, basically. But because you can take things out and put things in, it becomes quite a good way to manipulate bits of your psyche. So I used to do this a lot at one point. I'd sit, draw a grid with those columns on it and test for pathologies and immune dysfunctions and conditions, which are, with Immunix, there are lists of these things. So you don't necessarily need to know what they are. You just kind of, if you find them, you take them out. And then you put one of the functions in. And then do an accelerator, new behavior, or whatever. And then the work's done. But you do that on every single body. Or in every body that you find the pathology or the immune dysfunction in. And that's kind of how it works. So I'm used to working with a symbolic representation of my immune system, is kind of what I'm getting at. So when I get to the place where germ theory and viruses don't really exist, it takes away that external pathogen. And if you don't have an external pathogen, you don't need you don't need the bit of your immune system that fights external pathogens. So I got to let go of part of my immune system. And part of my immune system related to health. Now, I was quite invested in measles, because I had measles when I was about 6 months old, and I built a kind of a story around it in my healing process, where a lot of what was going on in my life after 6 months was related to my response to this measles. But if viruses don't exist, then measles was something else. And in this kind of way of thinking, measles is a detoxing process. So at 6 months old, you're not conscious of anything really. So it's all kind of picked up from the people around you. So there's been some kind of mechanism of resonance where I've started a detox because somebody near me was detoxing in that way. That's how measles is thought of in this kind of way of thinking. So it's no longer a pathogen. It's no longer a battle between my immune system and something on the outside that's dangerous. And once you take that kind of subconscious level of dangerous outside world away and let go of the need for the immune system to fight it, that becomes something I can do as a visualization. So on Tuesday or Wednesday, when I kind of got to that place, I did a visualization where I was just kind of starting from my feet and coming up to the top of my head, just letting go of the outside layer of the immune system, of my personal immune system. So I don't know whether this is going to make sense to anybody else, but this is just my process. So it is what it is. I'm just going to I'll just describe it as it is, the way that I do it. So I got to the point where I no longer required that bit of my immune system that physically kind of fights an outside threat, an invisible outside threat in the case of a virus. So I've let go of the physical level of that particular bit of my immune system, which means that the bit that's left is doing the kind of cleanup work in my physical body, but not really dealing with the outside. And I'm fine with that. It doesn't even need to be called an immune system. And I'm already used to working with a symbolic version of the immune system, so I'm okay with it all being symbolic anyway. So I don't know whether that made it easier or more difficult to get to the place where viruses weren't real, because I'm used to working with viruses on a very symbolic level. So maybe that made it more difficult. I don't know. It's taken about 18 months of watching Andy Kaufman videos and Tom Cowan videos and a couple of other people to get to a place where I can actually say that I don't believe in viruses anymore. And I'm probably a bit slow getting there, but it just is where it is. Everybody's different. Everybody goes at different speeds with this stuff. So let's see if we can get Tom Cowan back. I don't know whether we can or not.
Been able to find, isolate, and purify any virus that from any sick person's bodily fluid. Period. I've looked in the medical literature for a year. There is no example of that. All of the virologists, including the Chinese guy from Wuhan, he agreed. We asked him, we said, why did they, like, what's up? So there's two reasons they give. Number one, there's not enough virus to see. So I was with Andy, and Andy, being, if you've seen him, he says, "What? There's a thing called a virus concentrator. So you can put 1,000 people together and pool their bronchial fluid. Would you see it then? No. You have to concentrate it." He said, "What about 10,000 people? Would there be enough to see it then?" He said, "No. You have to concentrate it." Andy said, "What about 100,000 people? Would there be enough of this SARS-CoV-2 virus to see? Because you could get 100,000 people who we say are positive for COVID. We get their lung fluid, see if we could find the virus." He said, "No, there is not enough to see. You have to concentrate it." Right. It's always good. When people laugh, that means they get it. Yeah, right. So there's another reason they said. They said, Tom, you can't see viruses like that. Viruses are intracellular, inside the cell pathogens. So, of course, you can't see them outside the cell because they're only inside the cell. So this gets back to me as a three-year-old, and I'm thinking, you know, okay. I said, "Yeah, but how does it get from one person to the next? It gets outside the cell, obviously, and then goes to the next person." And I said, "Well, why don't you get somebody to find it then?" And they didn't say anything. And that was the end of the conversation. So once you found the virus, right, you suck it out, you have the band, you have thousands of copies, then you would expose an animal in the normal way, like not injecting it into their brain, but spray it on them like we say this virus is transmitted and see if they get the same disease. Now, that has never happened for the simple reason that nobody ever found the virus in the first place. So they can't possibly do the next step. And because nobody ever found the virus in the first place, you can't possibly have sequenced the genome of this that you haven't found. And you can't possibly have found variants of the genome of a virus that you never found. And by the way, if you don't believe me on this, here's what Christian Drosten said, asked in his paper, do you have the virus? He said, we aim to develop and deploy robust diagnostic methodology for use in public health laboratories without having virus material available. He's the guy who came up with the PCR test. He didn't have an example of the virus. The Robert Koch Institute, which is the CDC of Germany, when asked under a Freedom of Information type request, do you have a paper of the isolation of the SARS-CoV-2 virus? Quote, I am not aware of a paper which purified isolated SARS-CoV-2. The main health laboratory of Australia, when asked under Freedom Information, do they have an example of an isolated virus, SARS-CoV-2, said, ACT Pathology does not have the ability to isolate the virus from patient samples. We do not hold any documents pursuant to your request. The CDC said no quantified virus isolates of the SARS-CoV-2 virus are available. This was in June 2020. Nobody has the virus. There's now been about 10 different Freedom of Information requests to all the Commonwealth governments, Canada, Australia, Great Britain. All of them have admitted in writing that they have no isolates, no examples of this virus. The four people who wrote the main papers that started this were asked in writing, did you purify and isolate this virus? Because the title of their paper is The Isolation and Purification of the Virus. And they all admit in writing they have no examples, they did not isolate or purify the virus. There is no dispute about this. So, the question then is, why are there, let me take a guess here, approximately 150,000 papers since 1954, including, let me take a guess, 10,000 in the last year, with the title called The Isolation and Purification of Such and Such a Virus. And the 10,000, or I don't know what number I said, I've seen about 50 of them. The Isolation and Purification of the SARS-CoV-2 Virus. And everybody who disputes me sends me these papers and says, you have to be wrong, because all the scientists in the world are saying they've isolated and purified this virus. And so what is the deal, right? That this is the part. So what I said up till now is how it should be done. And so why are they writing these papers that say the isolation and purification, and then they do the genome, and then they do the variants, and et cetera? What are they doing? This is the part you have to know, like making bread. So here's how they do it. Now, the other thing to say is this started in 1954 with a series of papers by a guy named John Franklin Enders, who is given the Nobel Prize in medicine, I think, for the isolation.
All right, there's not going to be time to play the rest of this. It's a long video. I just played a 20-minute clip there. But it's called The Contagion Myth. That guy was Dr. Tom Cowan. You can find it on BitChute. If you just search for Tom Cowan, C-O-W-A for Alpha, N for November. And it's worth watching. I've watched the first half an hour a couple of times. I'm going to get through the rest of it this evening, probably. But anything with Tom Cowan associated with it is worth watching on BitChute. Particularly if your aim is to get to a place where viruses don't exist, then I would highly recommend him. Because you've listened to this over and over again, and understand the logic of it, and understand the process, and then eventually it'll click, It just will. And then you can let go. If once you let go of viruses as an external pathogen, you can let go of your immune system as something that fights pathogens, because there aren't any pathogens. And once you let go of your immune system as something that fights, then autoimmune disease is gone. Anything that's associated with a virus is gone. Anything that's associated with that particular bit of your immune system is just gone. Any disease that involves fighting something in your body that shouldn't be there is gone, because you don't need that bit of your immune system anymore. So this is a philosophical level. It's health. It's a way of going from not being healthy, from leaving a space in your belief system where something can be a pathogen. It's a philosophical shift to a place where there is only health. And that, to me, is huge. That's absolutely huge. All right, so you're listening to Revolution Radio. This is a show called Free Association. My name's Dennis. Revolution Radio is a listener-supported station. We've got two studios running more or less 24 hours a day, but we rely on listener support to keep the studios running. So if you can go to freedomslips.com and make a donation, we appreciate it. You can just do it as a one-off, you can do it as a Patreon monthly donation, you can send a money order. There's ways to do a lot, or you can send crypto. Any way you want to make a donation, there's a way to do it on freedomslips.com. On the menu bar at the top, you'll find a place that there's a donations tab with all the ways to do that. So that's pretty much it from me. It was a bit of a strange start to this one, but we got through it. And I think it's a reasonable show. I'm going to probably redo some of it, but I'll have to edit some of it probably. But apart from that, pretty much all right. Thanks for listening. I can't wait to see you in the chat room until my laptop comes back. I'm going to have to spend an hour trying to get my laptop back. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you again next week. Cheers.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Now that you see how blatantly the midterms have been stolen, how many other times have you been played? The Green New Deal? The pandemic and the vax, Sandy Hook and the courts, the missing gas chambers, bio and chem labs in Ukraine, Bill Binney, Catherine Horton, Nick Kohlerstrom, Ole Damgaard, Tina Pollard-Sachs, and many more. You don't want to miss my third annual False Flags and Conspiracy Virtual Conference, 3 to 4 December, 2022. 24 speakers, 26 presentations. Check it out at jameshfetzer.org. This one is for history.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser.